Yo, what up? You know what it is. It's your boy AJ Francis reporting to you live from New York City, the birthplace of hip-hop. And I'm telling you that I'm only tuned in with True Heel Heat Wrestling. Holla at me.
What's up, True Heel Heat?
True Heel Heat.
What's up? True Heel Heat.
Oh,
you know
what I mean?
Hello, hello, hello. It is me. It is me, your True Heel Phenom, SP3. We are live on the True Heel Heat YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter for our WWE Backlash 2024 preview. Previewing the show and giving our predictions for the card this Saturday from France. And I am joined by my former tag team partner from Believe in Pro Wrestling. You see his written work and his interview work over at SB Nation K-Side Seats. You see him reviewing AEW Collision every Saturday over on Fightful. He is the main man over on the radio in Cincinnati as well. Man, what a resume. He is Ricky Gino.
Yeah, you keep spouting out that some people are going to think I'm somebody, you know, like you're going to fool some people here. What's going on, SP3? Let's go. Viva La France. Backlash. 1 p.m. Saturday. Let's go. We got some graps at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. I actually do like these overseas shows, these overseas pay-per-views, unless they're like starting at like 5 o'clock in the morning. But like the afternoon ones, like I actually sit down and watch them with my kids and try to get them into it. This is gonna be a good show for that, I think.
Yeah, I've grown to like that last year with the Saudi shows. I was able to like kind of sit my kids down. They didn't stay still and watch it, but at the start of it, I was able to sit them down at a reasonable hour. It wasn't late, like me trying to put them to bed before I start watching a show. So yeah, I do agree. I do like the afternoon shows. I just wish that WWE would actually give us a pay-per-view card for one of these.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Just before we get into that, though, one of the coolest things being a dad and a wrestling fan was the first match that Rebecca sat down, my five-year-old, sat down to watch with me was the Saudi show. It was Bianca and Bayley for the now WWE Women's Championship. And at the end of it, she was pointing at Bianca who won and she said, "I want to be her when I grow up." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." That's a very nuanced statement and I love you for it. Let's go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love to hear it. But yeah, sound off in the live chat. We're going to talk about WWE Backlash France this Saturday. We're going to give you our predictions for the card and break down what we thought about the build up to this show as well. So give us your thoughts on the build-up. Give us your predictions on the card in the live chat. We'll try to highlight as many of your comments as possible. But of course, if you're feeling generous, you want to give back to what we do here, you can send a super chat donation. That is also important to what we do here at the True Heel Heat YouTube channel. Goes to the contributors. And we also appreciate our members. You can hit that join button and become a member today, just like James Hayes II. Thank you so much, James. As always, being a member for a very long time as well. We also got Nikki Boy in the chat who says, "Totally forgot that it was starting early afternoon. Gonna have to watch the show when I get off of work." There you go. See, we're here to remind you. That's what we're here for. We also got Stephen Chambers who says, "What's up, SP3 and Rick? Hope you guys doing well, my friends." And we got Christopher Ryan Cooper as well in the chat saying, "True Heel Heat fam, let's go, SP3 and Big Rick Uccino." Like Big Bronson Reed. I'm going to tell Bronson Reed you stole his nickname.
I didn't steal nothing. I don't want none of that smoke.
You stole his nickname, Rick. I don't know. I don't know if that's kosher, but as always, as we like to start off, we appreciate y'all for joining us live. Appreciate y'all if you're watching us on demand. Show that appreciation back. You can do it in the simplest way possible. It's free to drop a thumbs up on this video and share this video with all your wrestling fans, friends, and family. Hit that subscribe button if you are new to the True Heel Heat YouTube channel as well. But we start off all these pay-per-view previews, Rick, with a kind of a buzz level. What's your anticipation heading in to the pay-per-view, the premium live event this Saturday, WWE Backlash fans, from 0 to 10?
About, oh gosh, a four, 4.5, I would say. And look, it's just because I feel like we're just getting going. Like, it doesn't feel like this pay-per-view should be 3 weeks from now. You know, yeah. Like they, and I know you got another pay-per-view coming up after this. You're going to be doing King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, and all that stuff. And it's a gimmicky pay-per-view, so the build is pretty much done for it. But this show right here, like, our main event, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. Like, this build just started last week. Like, it literally just started Friday. And, like, Cody did 2 weeks of taking his victory laps and, you know, doing his politician waves. And, hey, you know, basically, like, his step-ups to his inauguration. And, like, WWE Championship run hasn't even really started yet. I feel like this pay-per-view is just happening too soon. And there's no leftover programs really outside of the Kabuki Warriors versus two out of the big three that is kind of carrying over into this. So everything just kind of feels a little too fresh and a little too new to dive into this. And I think that's part of it, honestly.
And I kind of say, like, you look at last year, like after WrestleMania, wasn't much going on then either. It wasn't until like really after Night of Champions last year that they got going with the Bloodline Civil War. You had more of like the Judgment Day whole breakup storyline that is still going on to this day, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to remind everybody, just in case anybody forgot. But the thing that made that more exciting was the fact that Backlash was in Puerto Rico, and that was a great show, not only because of the crowd, but because of Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, because of Bianca Belair and Io Sky. He had Omos' best match of his career. Like, there was multiple different matches that over-delivered on that card. And then the same thing with Night of Champions, with the main event, especially with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus Solo and Roman. Like, that's what everybody remembers. And then the big turn by Jimmy Uso at the end, which does not age well, but yeah, I think that I'm gonna judge even more
for Cody, like, coming out of WrestleMania last year, like, the Raw after Mania sucked last year, and we all know why it did, but at least you had a pretty hot angle with Brock Lesnar beating the hell out of him. And they were on the road to a really fiery feud and a pretty good trio of matches that those two had. I don't quite get the sense that this, and I hate to say this because I'm not saying that AJ Styles is Lacey Evans, but to me, this kind of feels like a little Lacey Evans, Becky Lynch-ish after she wins the main event of WrestleMania. And then all of a sudden it's like, here's an ice cold feud right out of the gate with somebody who hasn't been doing a whole lot. AJ Styles hasn't been doing a whole lot since he came back from injury. He lost at WrestleMania. He won two matches, one of which he had to cheat. Now he's got a title shot. So this has been a very quick build. Like I said, it's just cold right now because they just started.
Yeah, they just started. I think what we're really seeing is that Triple H and WWE, for the first time in a long time, booked for a long time. Like, I think he said it in the preview for the now still waiting for WrestleMania documentary, but one of the clips that I saw, he talked about how the card for this year's WrestleMania was booked in October. So he booked it like 6 months out, the card for WrestleMania, but I feel like he just booked until WrestleMania. That's what this card at Backlash and everything afterwards, and even the draft, with a lot of people, you know, polarizing kind of judging on both nights of the draft, where the draft feels like a stale concept, but there was exciting moves like NXT call-ups and people moving to different shows. But yeah, it just feels like Triple H is still coming up with the plan for after WrestleMania 40. He did a great job building up to 40, but he's still working on the plan for after.
What's that thing that you say, SP3, is the most important question?
And then what?
And then what? Yeah, he's working on the end. And then what right now? And yeah, it almost, and I get it. You want to go.
But this is why I could understand if people want to be critical of Triple H. And, you know, I'm always feeling frisky to do something like that. But I'm going to criticize them here is that there should have been some more kind of preparation. Like, you should be getting people hot. So then when your Rock, your Romans, you are gone, that you have the stars there to deliver for you. You knew that Seth Rollins was injured and just trying to make it for WrestleMania. Sure. So that was another big star that you had out. CM Punk is currently injured. You already knew that before WrestleMania. Stuff like Rhea Ripley, okay, that's understandable. You're booking on the fly with that. But that's not the issue. The issue is that you have two world title matches on this card on Saturday that feel quite mid card.
Yeah, so you want to come off of momentum off of WrestleMania, right? Like, it should be Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest this weekend. Like, it should be Cody Rhodes versus LA Knight this weekend. And I know it's babyface versus babyface, but LA Knight was the one that had the momentum, not AJ Styles. If that's the case, AJ Styles should have won at WrestleMania.
AJ Styles shouldn't have lost at the Royal Rumble. He was the one that took the fall in that fatal four-way. So it's like you didn't prepare for it. The right person was the obvious person, and that's Randy Orton. And I think that Randy Orton is gonna go to like SummerSlam match for Randy Orton. But like there had to be a better option outside of AJ Styles if you didn't put the work to build AJ for the moment.
But SP3, it's two Georgia boys. It's two Georgia boys throwing down, and no one outside of Atlanta gives a shit. Like that's the story. It's two Georgia boys. First time ever. I respect your dad. Can we get a Cody Rhodes storyline where we don't have to talk about his dad, please? I respect his dad, but please.
I saw a great tweet, and I think the WrestleTalk Dan Layton mentioned it as well. That said, at one point, WWE is going to have Cody Rhodes feud with someone that never met Dusty Rhodes, and it's going to be a very tough job to build up that matchup.
Yeah, it feels like a crutch at this point. It feels like a crutch, an unnecessary crutch. It doesn't have to be centered around that, and especially not now that the story's over. He's finished the story. He finished the story with Dusty. They don't need to keep leaning on that. Every once in a while, fine, where it makes sense. But man, we just finished a 2-year-long journey centered around him wanting to hand a title to his dad. Let's let Dusty, rest here a little bit.
Yeah. We got a couple of people commenting already. Keep coming with those comments. We got Nikki Boy. He says the NXT call-ups were the best thing about this draft. 100%. Nikki Boy says, I agree with the buildup and feud being cold. It wouldn't have taken that much effort to heat AJ back up. I agree with that as well. We got G Loke who says, I agree. AJ should have won. Yeah, he should have won at WrestleMania if he was going to be the choice to be. But that makes it obvious that he wasn't who you planned on because you didn't give him the win at WrestleMania.
Then who were they planning on?
That's a good question. I mean, the obvious person, we got Wrestling with Savage who disagrees with LA Knight. He says LA Knight will not be crushed this early. AJ is the right choice for the first loss. Randy will be saved for Cody's first Mania defense. If you think they're saving Randy for Mania, then who the hell is he going to feud with for the next 12 months? No, and no, AJ is not the right choice if you're not going to do the work to build them up. With the work that was done before WrestleMania and coming out of WrestleMania, I'll tell you who I thought should have been the first challenger, and it would have made sense, and you have the perfect person to give them an out to lose, is Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre beat Cody Rhodes before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He could have turned around after losing the World Heavyweight Championship and said, you know what? Punk screwed me over. Now I'm going after the guy that I already beat, and I'm gonna go after that. And he can't even get involved with that because he's on Raw all the time. He's never showing up on SmackDown. I'm gonna go to SmackDown and take that title from Cody before the draft.
Would it have been too soon to go to Solo Sikoa and continue the war with the Bloodline? At least there'd be some tie-ins there.
You got to build up Solo. I feel like Solo down the line is going to be a challenger for Cody Rhodes. They're doing the work now to build him back up. And we're going to talk about his big matchup on this card. One final one through the comments here. We got Estad who says, I think AJ and Cody will do at least two matches. Jesus Christ, if they're doing at least two matches and that's the reason we haven't got this much build for the first match, then they got to come up with a story that is capable of getting to
when we get to it when we get to it, I'll tell you what my fear is for this rivalry. I have a big fear for this rivalry that I don't want to see. And I'll tell you, that's a tease, folks. I'll tell you when we get to that matchup.
Well, let's start off with one of the world title matches on this card, Rick. And we're going to Damian Priest defending the World Heavyweight Championship for the very first time as he defends against the number one contender, Jey Uso. Uso won a fatal four-way on the Raw after WrestleMania, getting the pinfall over Drew McIntyre and a win over Ricochet and Bronson Reed as well, thanks in large part to CM Punk. Since then, Priest went over that Jey foresaw this. He said that both of them were going to be top stars in the company. Well, one of them has the world title and one of them is challenging for it. And the Judgment Day has seemingly been getting involved, but the story has really centered around Damian Priest seemingly realizing that the Judgment Day needs him, but he doesn't need the Judgment Day. Yeah. So this is going to be a huge test for him. Saying all that and going over the feud here or the buildup here just feels very mid-card. And it's an issue of this is two people that WWE is trying to tell us that this is the new top star, new top babyface of Monday Night Raw. Cody even gave him the stamp of approval and said, you're the new top babyface of Monday Night Raw. And you have Damian Priest, who's supposed to be the new top heel. Yet, their issues here is that the real top babyface of the Raw is CM Punk.
Right.
And the real top heel of Monday Night Raw is Drew McIntyre. And these two guys are just trying to kind of play that role. And I don't, it comes off like a mid-card title feud.
Yeah. So it's a really unfortunate dynamic because you have brand new first time ever world heavyweight champion. And like, you really got to start off a guy like that strong and maybe even feud him with a guy who's been a top level guy before, who has been a former champion, a la a Drew McIntyre. That could have been a good direction, like I said, to go with Punk still out and Damian Priest beating Drew for the title, right? Like, he should have got his automatic rematch clause instead of having to compete in a number one contenders match and then having CM Punk screw him out of it. So they decided to continue this feud with Punk and Punk and McIntyre, where Punk is not cleared to compete. We don't know when he's going to be cleared to compete. Triceps looks pretty good. He's walking around in sleeveless shirts. So he looks like he's in good shape. Maybe he'll be back sooner rather than later. But I just assumed, and maybe this is my fault, I assumed after that booking, it would have been Priest and McIntyre for a couple of months fighting over the title. And then CM Punk comes back and we go into Drew and Punk. Maybe even they trade the titles back and forth. I don't know. Like I said, not every title, you know, run needs to be a marathon. It doesn't have to be an endurance test. But like, to go to Jey Uso with a fresh new champion, I love the work that Jey Uso has done. I would not have believed years ago that this is a guy that would have elevated himself up to this point as a solo act, that people would gravitate toward him and care this much about him. And he is over, but at the same time, due to his booking, he's not believable. He's not a believable contender for the World Heavyweight Championship, because every time this man gets a title match, he gets screwed out of it or he loses. And nobody believes that Jey Uso has a shot to beat Damian Priest.
So I make this face, Rick, because I'm going to ask you a question. And you know, oh God. You said one of my catchphrases and the Fed one, and it's one of those times that I give you the key question that you probably didn't want to think about when you said something. You said Jey Uso is over. Is he? Or is Yeet over? Because honestly, that is a real question now because of what happened at WrestleMania. Because of what happened with the Jey and Jimmy rivalry. It's now become that question, and this is going to be a kind of a proving ground, a test to see if the crowd is as invested in Jey's work, because right. Honestly, it feels like Jey's work he doesn't have that confidence to him anymore. Like the matches, he had a match with Finn Balor on Monday Night Raw. Probably 6 months ago, I would have been like, yo, that's going to be a great matchup. It was a forgettable matchup. the six-man tag. They didn't have much time on this week's Raw, but it just doesn't seem like his confidence is back since WrestleMania. And that's why I said this, why I think this is like a proving ground, a big test for him.
I will say that I think Yeet has become too much of who he is. Like, you can't let the catchphrase take over who you are. Like Daniel Bryan, when he was in WWE, like yes and no were a big part of who he was, but he didn't let it like become everything that he is. And I just feel like, you know, he's leaning too much into Yeet and just letting that be who he is and centering everything around that. So I think he's leaning too much into the catchphrase.
Because when I was saying this, I thought it was just me. Because it does seem like you got Estine in the chat. It's like, yeah, it's Yates does seem off since Mania. And maybe it's because I saw the interview where he's like, they let people down. But now I'm seeing it in the work where, like, his promo work, he's leaning, like, you were 100% on point. He's leaning too much into the Yeet where every freaking promo, why do I have to hear, da-da-da, Yeet, da-da-da, Yeet, da-da-da, Yeet. Austin would talk, and he would talk in a cadence that would allow you room to do to what? He wasn't freaking calling response. Like, yo, like, that. It's too much. It's too much. I thought I was over the top, but then...
I'm glad you added to that, because I did a terrible job of explaining, you know, it, but that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Every single one of his conversations is surrounded, is built off of that one word. And it's, look, it's catchy. It's great. It sells t-shirts. You know, people still love his entrance. His entrance music is great. Like it's still one of the best things I've seen ever. All the people, thousands of people doing the hand wave. They're out.
The entrance is over. Entrance is over too. Yes.
The catchphrase is over. The shirts are over. Everything is over. And look, I'm not saying it's a knock on Jay to be off after WrestleMania. I 100% get it. If he's going through some confidence issues right now, I don't blame him, because that is something that, you know, I had talked to him about. Jimmy has said the same thing. Like, that was a dream match for them. That is something they worked their entire lives for to do. And it finally came there, and it just fell short of everybody's expectations and their own expectations. And you get on a main stage like that, where it's your first time to showcase in a singles match, and it's against your own brother, somebody that you have great chemistry with, you've known literally your entire life, and before it even started, and it falls flat. Like, yeah, mentally he'd be questioning some things, and that's perfectly fine, and it's human to do that. He's got to get his shit together, though. Let's see if he gets it together at Backlash.
I'm looking forward to it. I think they are going to have good chemistry with one another. I remember they had a good match last year, but I think that Damian Priest retains.
Oh, no question. There's no question about this. This is a very predictable show. Doesn't mean that's going to be bad, but I would be shocked if some results were not what we were expecting. Let's just say that much. Damian Priest will retain. I wouldn't be surprised if Jay gets screwed again, if Judgment Day gets involved, if they finally come through and they help Damian Priest, and then you know what? Damian Priest is going to be pissed that he needed Judgment Day's help to win. And I think we're setting up for a Finn Balor, Damian Priest title match at some point down the line, which I would be all for.
I think we're getting Priest and Balor next year at WrestleMania.
I don't know
if it's on a world title, but I think it's going to be like the final blow off of Judgment Day is Balor and Priest next year.
The moment that Finn Balor re-signed with WWE, I'm like, I need this man to have one more world title run. One more. Just please, like, elevate him. Give me Prince Devitt one more time. Turn him back into the badass. Let him prove that he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Triple H is in charge. Give him the world title run you were going to give him when he busted his shoulder. Please.
Yes, that's fair. So we both got the retention there. No title change. I think this one we're going to have a little bit different of opinion. As the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, defend the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. These four women were involved in a six-woman tag at WrestleMania 40 Night 1, where the big three of Bianca, Jade, and Naomi defeated Damage Control. And now they get their opportunity to get Jade Cargill's first championship in WWE. I think that you don't play games with this. Jade, Bianca wins.
Yeah, hands down. This one is in the books, signed, sealed, and delivered. I do have some trepidation about this because Jade and Bianca very much to me in this sense would be the equivalent of the Brothers of Destruction. They are a dominant powerhouse tag team, and who on God's green earth is beating them in this women's tag team division, which has talent, but doesn't have a lot of talent with momentum in the women's tag team division right now. Who does Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair even face after this? Who do they feud with after this? My biggest concern is it's going to continue to be with Damage Control because they are now allowed to be on both brands after they win these tag team titles. I was ecstatic when Damage Control not only got drafted early, but got drafted to Raw because they needed to be separated from Bianca and Bayley so damn badly. Yes. And then here we are. They're going to win the damn tag team titles, and Bianca and Jade are going to be right back on Monday Night Raw, probably facing off against Io and Dakota, probably yep. facing off against Asuka and Kairi Sane for a couple of more months. Triple H, if you're watching this, you're probably not, but if you can hear the sound of my voice, please, for the love of God, build up some other women's tag teams. Jesus Christ.
Hey, but then they can face the other Damage Control tag team of Dakota and Io.
Yeah, that's what I said. They'll do Dakota and Io. Then they'll bounce back to the Kabuki Wars. Then they'll go back to maybe they'll shuffle it up.
Then a three-way. We could do a three-way. Three-way with Kabuki Warriors, Damage Control versus Bianca and Jade.
I mean, maybe Chelsea and Piper get back into the mix here a little bit. I have high hopes for them now that they're on SmackDown.
They're the best tag team in the women's tag team division.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if Chelsea ends up with the Money in the Bank, honestly, this year. Would not be surprised. That has nothing to do with Backlash, but that's just, I'm just saying.
Chris says, if Bianca Belair wins, she will be the ninth woman to become a Triple Crown winner, and I see it coming.
Damn, are we up to nine already? Yep. Hot damn.
It's a lot. It's a lot. We also got Nikki Boy. He says, all right, though, Cooks SB3 tag team three-way would be awesome. Yeah, yes, give me that at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam. There you go. Sure. But then you got another tag team match, Rick, and this one I'm a lot more interested in. Honestly, this is the match I'm most interested in, as you're going to have the Bloodlines, Solo Sikoa, and Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga making his WWE in-ring debut against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. It was on the SmackDown after WrestleMania that Solo Sikoa usurped Roman Reigns as the new tribal chief. They haven't said it outright, but that's what the illusions have been giving us, as Solo decided that losing has consequences and took out his own brother Jimmy Uso out of the group and replaced him with Tama Tonga in a savage beatdown the following week. After Kevin Owens disrespected them, taking the Bloodline locker room, they jumped him, attacked him in a car attack, and then beat him up bloody in front of the fans. But it was Randy Orton who came out for a save when Kevin Owens came for revenge this past week on SmackDown, leading to this big tag team matchup here. What have you thought about the changes in the Bloodline since WrestleMania, the buildup for this matchup? What do you got with it?
This is what Triple H has nailed since WrestleMania. Like, we've been critical. Let's give the man his flowers. He has
absolutely
nailed Tama Tonga's introduction to WWE. You cannot look stronger than Tama Tonga has right off of the bat coming into WWE, just annihilating Jimmy Uso, bloodying Kevin Owens, just being a total damn near mute badass, just muscle for the new tribal chief in Solo Sikoa. It has been flawless for me. And I love that, you know, to me, the Bloodline storyline, to use an MCU reference here, SP3, has now reached its post-endgame phase, right? Where we are not even post-endgame. I would say post the first Avengers, right? Where we've stuck on the core, right? That phase one MCU where we've been stuck on the core for so long and we finally built up and now the big bad, you know, Loki has been defeated and now it's time to start incorporating new characters and start build toward the next generation. and of the Avengers, right? That's what's happening with this Bloodline storyline now, where Solo Sikoa is stepping in as in a much bigger role. We've now introduced a new character into the Bloodline cinematic universe in Tama Tonga, and I think we're going to have another one show up this weekend in Jacob Fatu and help Solo and Tama Tonga defeat Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Tama Tonga pins Randy Orton to win this matchup. You want to talk about setting somebody up strong out of the gate? That sends a message that this guy's not to be effed with. And they got big plans for him.
And they got big plans for Randy Orton. Randy Orton's facing Cody Rhodes for this damn title at SummerSlam, so he ain't going to lose in the tag team. I agree, though, 100% with what you're saying. Triple H has knocked this out of the park. The debut of Tama Tonga presented him like a wild savage, and they have kept that presentation going week after week since then. He just feels like the son of Haku. He feels like an unhinged element that hasn't been a gritty element that hasn't been involved with the Bloodline in a very long time. And Solo Sikoa has seamlessly filled in that leadership role, and he has kind of this unpredictability about him with Paul Heyman's reaction to all his different decisions and moves, where he doesn't know what direction the Bloodline is going week after week. It's given a great presentation to the Bloodline, and it's the best thing that Triple H has done since WrestleMania. It seems like that had a plan. I'm sorry to tell y'all all, that's not because of Triple H. That's actually because of Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, because they're involved with the booking there. So they probably had the idea, and then Triple H was like, all right, we're going to do it. So he gets the credit.
But real quick, though, I love how Solo Sikoa is completely different from Roman Reigns in the sense where Roman Reigns would play kind of that Max Bear type situation where I know when I need to be the killer, but I also know when I can be a clown. Solo Sikoa ain't about being a clown at all. He is 100% business. He saw that being Roman Reigns' downfall, even thinking back to the match at WrestleMania against Cody Rhodes, where it's Solo who is screaming at Roman Reigns to get finish on him. His feet and finish his damn story. And you got Roman going, I know, I got this. And then
that goes back to Money in the Bank last year during the tag team matchup. When Roman was all distraught, when the Usos kick out of the stack pin, and he's like over here, and Solo's like, yo, get your shit together. Yo, like, get up.
Just gave him that look. He just looked over. I'm like, bitch, are you weeping on the ground right now? Get on your feet.
So they sold the seeds very well, and I like the fact that we haven't got the official turn of Solo on Roman, but it's been this seamless of Roman's gone, now Solo has failed in that position. We've introduced this new different element, this new different character to the Bloodline with Tama Tonga, and I do agree that Jacob Fatu is the next element that's going to just add even more unhinged, gritty violence to the Bloodline. I don't think it's going to be at Backlash, but that answers the question to a super chat donation here. Thank you so much, Nikki Boy, who says, do we see Jacob Fatu here? Rick thinks yes. I think no, because I feel with the pacing of the Bloodline, that's going to happen at King of the Ring. I'm going based on Bloodline pacing from last year. Bloodline pacing from last year, it says to me, Jacob Fatu debuts at King of the Ring.
Didn't Solo also debut in Saudi Arabia?
Yes, indeed. He did. Yeah. He did. So that would be another thing to give them some type of connection as well. We also got Queen Monet in the chat, one of our members, the Queen, one of the OG members of the Believe community over there as well. Rip. So thank you for joining us. We got Big Man Does. He says, I have to say that Tama Tonga booking exceeded my expectations by a long shot. By far. You got some WWE fans being like, oh, who needed Okada? We got Tama Tonga. See, I would have thought you were on drugs, but the presentation has been that good that I can understand if you've never seen Okada, you think, oh, this is great. We got this guy instead.
I remember my first joint. Jesus. God, damn.
What a life! See, man, Rick, if we didn't just see you at the Revolution in the seats right in front of us, which was crazy, that you were sitting like right in front of us, we would have had your second or third or whatever number joint. But yes, we got it. Also in the chat, Nikki Boy says, so we're going into Age of Ultron territory. I think we are in after Endgame, because that's what WrestleMania 40 felt like, and how Triple H kind of booked it, that was his Endgame, and yeah, he's still trying to come up.
Right.
This feels very much like they're trying to come up with stuff, but the Tama Tonga introduction is like Shang-Chi. Or like it's like the good one of the after Endgame.
It feels like Spider-Man to me, because like Spider-Man came in and he didn't have his own storyline.
Yeah, no way.
It was like, it was like, hey, here's a part for you in this other story right now. We'll give you a slow build, and then all of a sudden, hey, here's effing Spider-Man, and this is what our entire future is going to be about.
That is true. But yes, keep coming with those comments here. Appreciate y'all. And Big Man Darts with a good one as well, saying, do we need Fatu this early? No,
we don't need him. I just suspect we will see him.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Clash at the Castle was Solo's debut.
I knew it was overseas. Damn it.
Yeah. He was like, I knew I was watching it in the afternoon. That's as much as I got.
I think I was actually because that was the same weekend as which AEW pay-per-view do they do in Chicago? All out. Oh my God, that was Brawl Out weekend, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yep, oh my God, I was in a pizza joint in Chicago, sitting in a booth watching Clash at the Castle on my cell phone. That's where I was when Solo Sikoa debuted. It's all coming back to me now.
I was eating deep dish, and I was on John Paul Martin Stat King's couch. That's what I remember. But let's talk about the other women's matchup on this card. WWE Women's Championship up for grabs. Bayley defends in a triple threat match against Tiffany Stratton and Naomi. This one is all built off of the matchup that we had a couple of weeks back with Naomi and Bayley, where Tiffany Stratton got involved, taking out both women with the prettiest moonsault ever. They had a number one contenders match the following week, which was ended by interference by Nia Jax, but Tiffany Stratton gave both women the prettiest moonsault ever once again, setting up this triple threat match. If I didn't give my prediction for the last match, it's obviously the Bloodline. It's Bloodline. But this match here, I think that Bayley retains, but this is going to be a big showcase for Tiffany. And I think that Bayley gets the pin on Naomi and they continue the Tiffany feud. And we get a singles match on APLE this year.
Yeah. First off, I love the addition of Nia Jax over on SmackDown. I think that's exactly what she needed after she had spent a majority of her time since coming back, doing, by the way, her best work in WWE by far since coming back. She's got herself in great shape. Even just something as foolish as ahead of the battle royal, where they're holding up the title belt, and she just kind of does that Queen Slay look into the camera. She's standing next to the championship, like, bitch, you know this is mine. She's really kind of feeling herself, and she seems so much more comfortable in the ring as a performer now. Her being she's the top heel on SmackDown now after the draft, with Damage Control moving over, and Tiffany Stratton slides right in there as the number two heel now. And then you have Chelsea, and I would say Candace, who could step in as a chance to move up the ladder as far as the top heels are concerned. So I'm really excited about where this women's division on SmackDown is. This to me has match of the night written all over it. I think they're going to give Tiffany and Naomi a chance to really shine here. I don't want no BS though. I feel like Bayley's first title defense, PLE title defense, after you already ended the first one in a DQ as a babyface, she needs to win this bad boy outright. I agree with you. She does beat Naomi to retain this, which is going to be interesting to see what that does to their friendship, because it's all about love and respect. The whole Becky Lynch Charlotte Flair storyline crop up again. You know, one's more successful than the other, and it's like, okay, but son of a bitch, I want that, you know. So we'll see how that progresses forward here. But this, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think Bayley retains by beating Naomi.
I can see that as well. And I think that they do Bayley versus Nia Jax in Glasgow at Clash at the Castle too.
I will say this. I hope Bayley I don't know who beats Bayley for the title. Looking at the SmackDown, it might be Tiffany, to be completely honest with you, down the line, maybe. But
maybe either Tiffany or Nia. I could see Nia.
All I want before Bayley's title run ends is a feud between her and Candace. I want to see Candace finally get an opportunity to show the entire world who the F she is, because since she has been on the main roster, since she got back, she has not been able to show that to anybody. And if anybody's going to push for that and get it on television, it's going to be Bayley. And I'm hoping she gets that opportunity.
I can see that as well. And I mean, I hope for Candace's sake, because she was actually doing good character work and then they just dropped her storyline on Raw. But let's finally, Rick, talk about the main event of WWE Backlash for the undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes will defend for the very first time since winning the title at WrestleMania 40 against AJ Styles. As you said earlier, two Georgia boys going at it for the very first time in France. That was the buildup. And AJ Styles got a victory in a very fun triple threat match against Kevin Owens and Rey Mysterio, as well as a rematch to WrestleMania 40 against LA Knight. And they had a contract signing. That's it.
Yep.
And a contract signing where AJ was not heel at all.
No. Right now, this is all about respect. I respect you. I respect your dad. But I'm AJ Styles. I'm still phenomenal. I want that championship. This to me feels like it's the start of something.
Oh, dear.
You know I'm right. You know I'm right. And here's my big fear. My big fear is that this is going to be AJ Styles and Nakamura all over again, just with AJ Styles playing the role of Shinsuke Nakamura. That is what I feel. I feel like these guys are going to have a series of matches over the summer where AJ Styles never wins. And I'll know I'm right when he low blows Cody Rhodes on Sunday and Cody wins by disqualification.
Yo, that would be insane. Yo, if that comes on like before any other matchup at Backlash, that tips it off, and I'm gonna text Rick and I'm gonna be like, you son of a bitch. Like, you're the entrances. If there's one more match after Cody and AJ, I'm gonna text Rick and I'm gonna be like, you son of a bitch, you put it in the air to give us a fucking DQ finish that I can see coming now.
Because look, you know AJ is not going to be able to put away Cody. AJ believes he's better than Cody. He doesn't believe that Cody can carry the championship. It's all about respect until he kicks out of the Styles Clash, right? And he gets furious and he doesn't know how he can beat him, and he has to go to the nefarious tactics. The same tactics he used to beat LA Knight to get the title shot in the first damn place. He's going to go low thinking the ref ain't looking. The ref is going to catch him. And he's going to freaking lose because of it. I don't want it to happen, but damn it, SP3, I can see it happening. I can see it.
I'm Big Man Does. I'm sure everyone saying AEW has too many heatless bangers is complaining about this match. Like, this match is the void. Like, Big Man Does yesterday said AJ versus Cody feels cold. And I gave him the Dutch Mantel line that he always gives Rick Eugenio. You're giving it too much credit. it gotta have a pulse to be cold. It's, this shit is not even a lie.
It hasn't started. It's in its infancy. Like, the shit just came out of the womb. Like, it just started. Of course there's no heat on it. A low blow to the in the main event of a pay-per-view, that'll put some heat on it. Maybe the wrong kind of heat, but it'll put some heat on it.
Oh, my God. Imagine France, that hot crowd, get a DQ finish in the WWE Championship.
But if this match opens, what closes? Bloodline?
It would have to be Damian Priest and Jey Uso.
Maybe Bayley.
Nah, maybe. Priest and Uso. They would if this doesn't close the show, they give it to Priest and Uso, because that's gonna put over Priest in their eyes.
Yeah, that's fair. But you're talking about Cody Rhodes.
I'm gonna be like, once again,
Cody Rhodes is going to be the man. He's going to lead us into a new era, but he's kicking off the first PLE. Well, he ain't even the main event.
You know what? I think Rick might be right, because it does sound like WWE to have Damian Priest main event Backlash 1 year late when he should have main evented last year. Rick Pitino. That brings us to a close on our WWE Backlash fans preview. Had a great time talking about all these matches and the buildup and the results here. And of course, I think we both got AJ Styles winning the WWE Championship, right?
Hell no.
Of course not. Cody Rhodes. Could you imagine
if they did that? Holy Jesus.
Cody Rhodes retains, of course. Of course. We both
got DQ.
I'm not going with that. I would be like, yo, I'm going to be so mad at Rick on Saturday. I can't wait.
The question is, but like, here's my thought process. If like, we assume Randy Orton is the SummerSlam match, who's next for Cody after that? Like, if he beats AJ after a 2 week build and he beats him clean, as you would say, and then what?
AJ Styles attacks him on the SmackDown following to set up a rematch. Yep.
Yeah.
Or Shinsuke Nakamura round 57.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, man. But yes, Rick, that brings us to a close here on our WWE Backlash 2024 preview. Please let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, all your great work across all those platforms. I told them at the top of the show, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, one-stop shop at Rick Pitino on X, as it's spelled. I can never do this, where it's as it's spelled right here on your screen. You can follow me there or on Instagram as well. Don't post there as often, but I am there, whether you want my coverage for Sports Illustrated, for SB Nation, for any of those other places. You can catch me every Friday night on Redacted with this man over here and Dutch Mantel reviewing SmackDown. Man, I can't. SP3, I cannot wait for the next few months, because you know, every single week we're going to be hearing Dutch Mantel saying something along the lines of so-and-so couldn't draw money if they had a green Sharpie in their hand, because we got a lot of guys who, let's just say they haven't been in the main event for a long time. So we'll, if they have ever. So we're going to see how this new era of SmackDown starts in the next couple weeks, and Fightful on Saturday. Saturday night collision show. I'm everywhere. Like I said, just follow me on Twitter. I'll let you know where I'm at.
This man is everywhere. He's so busy. We got in the chat Queen Monet, who says, my fear is Cody's reign will end up like Rhea's, where they know the major matchup they want to do, but they don't have enough interesting challengers to fill the time in between. I was trying to remember, who the hell did Rhea Ripley face for the Women's World Championship at SummerSlam? Or did she even have a match at SummerSlam last year? At least we know with Cody, he has a middle point. He has a middle point he's trying to get to. The middle point is Randy, and then WrestleMania is The Rock. So at least he has one person that we know for sure is going to be an interesting challenger for him, where we didn't have that for Rhea.
Rhea didn't not have a match
yeah.
at SummerSlam last year.
Exactly how I remembered it.
Yeah, she did not have a match at SummerSlam last year.
Yep. It wasn't until Nia Jax showed up that the women's division got interesting for a little bit there. But hey, you can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. You can follow me on the crew, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at TrueHillHeat, patreon.com/TrueHillHeat. $3 a month gets you exclusive content, the best place to support us when we're not live here. And check out all the great content we got on the channel right now, like Rated Raw Review number 19 from yesterday with me and Romeo reviewing the second night of the WWE draft on Monday Night Raw. You could also check out Collision Discourse with our review of AEW Collision and Rampage from this past Saturday. And I will be back live here tomorrow, 1:05 p.m. Eastern Time, AE Ramble with Jimmy McElroy reviewing AEW Dynamite. But join us tonight for our watch-along of Dynamite at 8 p.m. Eastern Time with the True Draw Josh. But for Rick Pitino, it is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3. This has been our WWE Backlash 2024 preview. We are signing off until next.